right, random thought. And you're going to have to think back probably deep, deep in your memory bank. But first dates. Do you think a first date exit survey is a good idea? And the reason why I asked, came across this story. This guy moved from San Francisco to New York, engineer, and was struggling dating. He's 27. Right. And the struggles that everybody goes through, getting ghosted, people no-show, all the things that happen through dating apps. So then what he decided, and he's a tech guy, so he decided was he's going to create a survey. So at the end of the date, the girls would get a survey with like 10 questions for them to be able to rate on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, what they thought about the conversation, the venue, and all that, and try to use that as data to understand what he could do better to date. And I think one person that, you know, some people thought it was weird. One person filled out the survey and was like, you took me to a fucking hole in the wall. Why would you take somebody there for a first date? I'm just reading through this. I'm like, is an exit survey a good idea? I say yes. No, but what say you?
Yes, yes. You know what? So here's the thing, because you try to figure out, and this guy, let's be honest, he's a techie guy, he's an engineer. So he probably is, his people skills are probably what they are, okay? As you'd expect. But I've worked with a lot of engineers, and trust me, their people skills leave a lot to be desired sometimes. But that's what makes them good at what they do. They talk to computers, they talk to machines, okay? For him, this data-driven guy, he goes, well, give me some data because I'm getting ghosted. Now, I have no idea what that's like because I don't think I've ever been ghosted. I think it's always been like a mutual ghosted, like, man, you know who I haven't heard from in a while? I'm like, yeah, well, I guess we both ghosted each other. But for this guy, he's like, yo, what am I doing wrong? And what's wrong with getting that information? How many times have you been out on a date and you have something that you're thinking in your head, you don't say out loud because you're like, you know what? I know better, even though there are very few things that you don't ever just say out loud, especially if they don't ask, especially if they ask, right? So in this case, somebody gives you a survey. Wouldn't you be fine to take that survey and go, yes, well, this is why I won't be asking you out on a second date. Or finding out from somebody else, well, no, I like that we did this. Or I like that you did this. Because you want to know what works and what doesn't, right?
Mm. Well, I would say, this is why I'm not asking you on a second date. You're like, what? I'm like, this survey. This is why. I'm not asking you on a second date.
This.
Yeah, this survey. So no, here's why I don't think it's a good idea. And I agree 100% that most of the engineers that I've come across, they're a little different socially. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in you got to be yourself no matter what. And you're going to find some people who like you and you're going to find some people who don't like you. Yeah. I've been on some dates where I'm just like, yeah, I totally blew that. When I said X, like I replay it, I'm like, I shouldn't have said that.
That's where this date ended.
That's me, yeah, right there. This is, it's like Madden, like the little chalkboard. I'm like, right here, when I went in and said this, circle it. Boom. Don't do that. Yeah. But I mean, I've been on some dates where I met the person. They were cool. Just didn't connect with them. Didn't really want to go on another date with them.
Right.
But he's in New York. He's not in small town. Like when I lived in Lincoln, Nebraska, trying to date there, it was tough, you know, but he's in New York. Millions of people everywhere. You're going to have to kiss quite a few frogs to get to your princess, you know, so keep trying. Eventually you're going to find someone that you like. So he does wind up meeting and he's dating someone now. Mm-hmm. And this person, she thought the survey was a good idea,
yeah.
But she liked him before she got the survey. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to go on a date. And at the end of the date, you're going to get a survey. Like when you're taking a customer service call and they say, hey, we're going to change you to customer service. After they help you, you're going to get connected to a survey. So
now,
you don't know what's
coming.
That
would cause you not to get a second date immediately.
Yeah. So you don't
like
know what's coming.
That first date off.
Exactly. So she enjoyed everything about him. And then it was like, oh, a survey? Okay. And filled out. So the survey is not what sealed the deal with the young lady who is dating him now.
I think you're missing the point. It's not about the survey being the, oh, survey, let me slip my panties off. No, that's not what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about the fact that the survey allowed him to grow as a person and as a dater to understand what to do next, okay? Mm. So that's what happened. The survey allowed him to grow. Understanding the things that you've done wrong or that people didn't like, or the things that like you found out because you went, oh, this is where I went wrong. Don't do that again. For him, he needed the survey to find that. He needed that data to find that out, right? So once he figured that out, he's able to go on this date. So by the time he got to her, he was where he needed to be for this woman who was waiting for him to get his ish together.
Nope. Still respectfully disagree, sir, because one of the things that when he got the feedback about the restaurant, he goes, so I started picking different places. I was picking art museums and all that. Now, picking art museums is great if you are into art museums, if that's like your thing, but you're just randomly picking spots to see how the date's going to interact. Why not just, and this is the social awkwardness of some engineers, why not just ask her, what are some things you like to do?
Because women always go, don't ask me where I want to go. Just take me somewhere.
No. I might ask, what kind of food do you like? I don't ask, like, where do you want to go for a first date? You know, but I'm going to try to get to know you a bit and realize, okay, you're into this. Oh, you're into art shows. Well, there's a first Friday. They have an art deal. There's wine to walk around. Would you like to go do that? Might not be like my thing I want to do every Friday, but I think that could be a great first date to, because I know she would at least enjoy the venue and the place. Or even restaurants. Like when I was in Lincoln, when I first moved there, I didn't know anybody. And so the way I would go on dates is I would ask people, like, where's a great place to get a steak? Where's the best seafood place? Where's this? And so I had this list of restaurants. And so if I was going to go on a date with somebody, I would ask them, you know, what kind of food do you like? I've heard about this place. It's supposed to be a really good steak place. Do you like steak? I've never been. And either if they've never been, well, it's win-win. You're both checking out a restaurant. If the date's bad, at least you have some good food. Or they might be like, oh, that place is really nice. But to me, I'm like, well, it's Lincoln, Nebraska. Nice there is $24 a person. Big deal. So I don't mind going to that place. Shame. So I don't think that he learned a lot. Now, what I will disagree with is the lady that complained about the place. You have Yelp. You have Google Maps. Mm-hmm. You knew it was a hole in the wall before you showed up.
Exactly.
If you didn't, ladies, before you go, they said, we're going to go here. Look at the place. Look at the menu.
Look at the reviews.
Look at the reviews and just see what you're getting yourself into. You know, if you're like, hey, there's like three murders that happened, you know, in a week at that parking lot. Okay, change the place.
I just want to clarify something here. You said when you got to Lincoln, you asked people, where's a good place to get a steak? Where's a good place to get seafood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you were trying to solicit for these dates, you would say, so do you like steak? Do you like seafood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you were conducting a pre-first date survey. You were collecting data.
That's not a pre-first date survey. No,
same thing this guy did.
No.
Yes, you did.
I was collecting data from that one person. I wasn't asking a whole bunch of dates what's your preferred steak place, and they're narrowed down to what's the best steak in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's not what I did. I would just ask that person, hey, what are you? Let's go out to eat. Let's meet up for a meal. What do you like? And they're like, oh, I like this kind of food. Okay, well, I'd have a list of places that I heard were good that sold that kind of food. So I'd say, well, have you been to any of these places? And they might say, yes, no. Great, let's pick one of these.
You know what? Here's what I noticed. If you did this survey, your pre-date survey would be, all right, so what do you consider a good steak here in Lincoln, Nebraska? $12, $24, or $50? That would determine everything.
It'd be a trick question. When you're at Applebee's, how do you like your steak cooked? Medium, mid-rare, well done, or rare? If they answer that at all, I'd be like, we're not going to work out because you should not get a steak at Applebee's.
Facts.
Yeah. I want someone to be like, first of all, I would not get a steak at Applebee's. Right answer. Right answer.
I'll pick you up at 7. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, kind of like this one, which automatically proved I was right. Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 99. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
This is the week for us where we really get excited. At least I will. I mean, I don't know about you because your Saints are not going to do anything this year. But football kicks off this week. Thursday, it's going to be amazing. We both watched our teams play, college teams. But, you know, the NFL, where people get paid above table, that's where it really goes in. And one of the people who's been dominating for the last couple decades, Tom Brady, He retired, then he kind of retired. He didn't really say he retired. He just said, it's been fun. Then he came back, and then he took off for like 11 days for personal reasons, right? Yep. Which has never really happened in training camp, because how's your starting quarterback who's got new receivers not there? Well, of course, now there's an article out saying that there's trouble in paradise, and that you know, him and Giselle really having issues, him and Mrs. Brady, because she didn't want him to go back to the NFL. She's like, yo, I'm tired of dealing with these kids by myself. We need you at home. And he was like, you know what? I can't take this shit. This summer was long. I'm going back to training camp. I'm going back to the NFL.
I'd rather get hit than deal with this.
At least as a ref,
right here with those kids.
My side.
You know, I saw the story. I think it's just media trying to say something. But you're right. There's something that's going on. I mean, Tom Brady's never missed training camp,
right?
You know, at all. And you would think, okay, well, he's great. Does he really have to be at training camp? He could watch some videos. He can dial in remotely and, you know, pick up on everything. But to
pull me up on Zoom.
To your point, the
but that's what makes him great. He's there.
Yeah, but to your point, the timing that you have to have with these new receivers and get that rhythm together, that's what's so important about the preseason. So it's interesting that they missed it. But like, I'm wondering, what help does she want? Because Giselle, I'm sure, is not like getting up in the morning, you know, changing beds, making breakfasts and lunches for the kids, getting people dressed. And then as soon as they leave, I got to clean the house. Like all the different traditional things that stay-at-home moms would do. She's not doing that. She has her career things that she does as well. So I know there's nannies, there's cooks, there's this, there's that.
I'm about to say, you said her career things.
I don't know if she needs help, but maybe she's just tired of being that person every year and having to deal with the noise and all that. Remember, she was in New England and tweeting and all that shit. So maybe she just wants a break from that lifestyle.
Yeah, and it could be as simple as that. Like, you know, when you said her career stuff, I'm like, huh? I mean, you know, first of all, the money she makes and the money he makes, I don't think she's changed a diaper. let's be honest, it's somebody that can't. Oh, the baby needs a bottle in the middle of the night. Nanny number 14?
She probably has someone else to help breastfeed. Like, hey, wake up. Baby's hungry.
Take it back to the days of what was it, King Henry VIII, and you know when you had people who would breastfeed the babies to the medieval times. Yeah, what they call wet nurses. That's what it is. Because somebody's going to tell us that wet nurse. Exactly.
Is that what that is? A wet nurse.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this pop up, and things are not always roses. And even when you watched his documentary, on that he had on ESPN, you notice that there were things like when he was suspended, he had a chance to take vacation with her. He goes, this really helped my marriage, right? Because we were able to just go travel, and this is the time that I usually be gone. So this is the time for us to go just travel and just have fun together. And apparently, that's all the fun that he needed to have, because here he is this many seasons later. And he's like, I can have all the fun that I want, but I'd rather go back in the locker room. Or is it really just his competitive edge? Is he just that competitive of a person that he's like, I can't live without this. I need this again. I need to see, can I do it one more time?
Well, I don't know if it's whether can he win a championship one more time. I think it's just the love of the game, right? A lot of these players play until they physically can't do it anymore because they
love... Until somebody else tells them they can't.
The game. Yeah, they love the game. I mean, they miss that whole deal, you know, the being in the huddle with the other 10 guys, you know, on the field. Like, all those things they miss. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom can't guarantee he's going to win a championship every time he suits up for a season, and he doesn't have Gronk, so... There's that, right? He's missing one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. So, but maybe it's just he's not ready to walk away from it. It's not that he doesn't want to be with his family. Could be. Mm-hmm. Don't know. Don't know what she's like. But maybe he's just not really ready to hang up his cleats and walk away from what has been his life.
Right.
If you think about it. I mean, without football, who's Tom Brady?
TB12, who's got millions and millions. But here's the thing about Tom Brady. Tom Brady just signed a deal to pay him what was it, 25 or was it $35 million to go to the broadcast booth? So it's not like he'll be away from the game. They signed him for that. He has never called a game. But they're going to pay him that much. Why? Because they know people are going to listen. That brand is huge. He's going to make the money off the field that he's making on the field. And even more so. And not get hit.
And it's football IQ. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can use that. But look at Drew Brees. I mean, it took everything for Drew Brees to finally hang it up. Mm-hmm. You got Ben Roethlisberger. Took forever for him to hang it up. Eli Manning.
Well, Ben had to retire. Did you see him throw the ball this last season? Ben had to retire. You and I can throw further than him right now.
But the same thing happened to Peyton. When Peyton was playing his last year with the Broncos, his arm was crap.
Yeah.
You know, but
he won a Super Bowl.
He did. You know, but he wasn't like, okay, I want to see if I can do this one more time. He was just like, yeah, I'm done. I'm good. 2 Super Bowls with 2 different teams. I'm good. Going out a winner.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just being on the field is totally different than being in the booth. And I think they tried to get Peyton to do it, and he was terrible at that. And what he's doing now, this is Peyton. Like, that's just pure Peyton. It's awesome what him and Eli and stuff are doing. But
yes,
you know, they tried to get him to do the broadcast booth, and he was just like, yeah, no.
Because that was too straight-laced for him, right? And what him and Eli are doing are the alternate versions of broadcast. So they're doing their own. It's them being them. You know, it's interesting because when you saw those sports, remember Sports Center had all these fun commercials and the one promos for them and for with Eli and Peyton, and they're walking through with their dad with Archie Manning, and they're like two little kids just, you know, kicking each other and having fun back there. They like that. So that's why this program for them works and what they do works. And Peyton just being this goofy guy, because on the field he was this. And that's why when they thought, oh, we could put him in a booth, he's like, yeah, this ain't for me, like you said. But doing it this way, Peyton's places, all that stuff, because he gets to go out and have fun with people. And you're right, he likes that. He's found his niche. John Elway's niche was to ruin the Broncos, you know. okay, I kid, because he gave him another Super Bowl. But you
know, hasn't done it since.
He didn't. And he did it with Peyton. So therefore, I mean, yep. But here's the thing. Russell may be the next one, and we'll see what happens there. It's interesting to see what these guys do when they leave the league, because there's so much more to be done once they leave. And Tom is just not ready to hang it up yet. And maybe that's just it. Or maybe there's trouble in paradise, and that's what it is.
It could be. It could be. But I'm like, what is he going to do that's different if he doesn't play? Mm-hmm. Okay, having to broadcast and do all those things, that's going to take time away from being with the kids. Mm-hmm. You're going to travel and go to certain games. So what really changes if he doesn't play but does that other alternative? And so if that is the case, if they're having problems, which, again, I'm sure their problems are not related to the fact that he's not there to pick up after the boys and put dishes in the dishwasher. You know,
right.
The grass hasn't been cut in months, Tom. You know, I'm sure that's not the case. There's probably something bigger than her just wanting help around the house, you know?
Tom, I need help with the dishes. Somebody's got to bathe the kids. Yeah, I doubt it. You're right.
Yeah. I'm doing everything. I'm calling the cooks. I got the wet nurse coming. I have all these different things. The cleaners I got to set up.
I had to pay the gardener.
Yeah, out of my pocket. This is bullshit, Tom. I didn't sign up for this.
Why do I have to pay out of my $1 million bank account? No, this one came in from rgrtpod@gmail.com, and it's an interesting one because, you know, when we talk about the professional side, and you and I, we got to bring back Terrell Steps at some point. We're about to hit episode 100 next week. We got once we get into the 101s, we got to start really getting into bringing back Terrell Steps. Because I think as folks are getting back out, you know, these tips of resumes, since you look at, you know, a couple of day, a couple of year, a couple of a decade, I'm sure you have a couple of tips on that, right? But this guy decided to go a different route and went a different way. And his has garnered 160,000 reactions and thousands of comments on LinkedIn. And it has to do with some of his jobs. Like he has for his jobs, Facebook. He was an advertising target. I like this one for Amazon. He was a Prime member from February 2008 to present. So that's 14 years and 8 months. And he says he increased order volume by 823% over 7 years. And he regularly reported on product quality using the review portal. So a couple of things I noticed from this. One, he regularly reported on product quality using the review portal, which means he gives feedback. He has some follow through on what he does as he makes his purchases, right? Here's the other thing I noticed, because in talking to you, one of the things you always talk about is that you should have quantifiable data on your statistics. I don't know why that word just got me. On your resume. And he said he increased order volume by 823% over 7 years. So this is good stuff, right?
Sure. It's great. I like the Netflix account manager. I thought that was funny. You know, but one thing that... Here's what I don't like about these kind of stories. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I think it's cute. He's not a job seeker. Mm-hmm. Looking for jobs right. with the stuff on his profile. And he's a chief marketing officer for a company.
Okay.
So he's a CMO. Mm-hmm. The dude is taken care of. He's an executive. He's been an executive for a while. He's not looking for a job with this. Now, what happens is people who are looking for jobs go, that's a good idea. And then they start trying to come up with that stuff and trying to get creative. I've seen people that are stay-at-home parents, that they were a stay-at-home parent for 5 years. So they talk about how they manage the household and this and delegate to a team of four, you know, which would be the husband and the three kids, you know, all these different things. I mean, it's cute. And some companies might pick it up. But for this guy in this story, he was not looking for a job. He's an executive. I guarantee his executive portfolio that he's submitting, if he was looking for a job, would not have that on there. Well, his LinkedIn profile, cool. Social media.
Exactly. It is. You know, I think people forget that LinkedIn is really social media, right? But here's the key thing about this, too. What I gather from looking at this is that he knows how to delegate, because in order for him to sit down there and come up with this and write this up, he needed a little bit of time, and he did it because he had other people doing his job. Because even on the Netflix account, I love this one. Multi-year recipient of suggestions for movies I've already watched. Love that. I mean, it's you know, responsible for managing and paying for. But make sure you put that in there. Account shared by 5 globally distributed family members. He's a global account manager. Look at this man.
Yeah. It is all great. But there's going to be somebody that's going to try to submit their resume with this stuff in there, thinking that this is going to give them a shot. Because I saw the story on the New York Post from a guy that did this on LinkedIn. And you're right. I think people forget that LinkedIn is a social media platform. Mm-hmm. It used to be a professional platform, and everything on it was pretty professional. Now you see people engaged in politics.
Yes.
You had the abortion rights that came up. You got Biden now, that Biden is talking bad about the MAGA Republicans. Mm-hmm. You got people that are talking trash. So you think this one guy who was a Navy SEAL or whatever, he's just going off in this long paragraph of negativity against Biden on LinkedIn. It's like, okay, this used to be professional. It's a social media deal. People trying to get likes.
Yeah.
They're trying to get, you know, reactions and get more visibility.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. It worked. But there's going to be somebody that thinks that I need to change my resume, right? Meow.
you know, you're right. And it got our attention. Something else got our attention from our good friend, CJ. He sent us an email, rgrtpod@gmail.com. He said, aloha, guys, since he's out in Hawaii. We're so jealous. Love the court of keywords here. Public opinion discussion. Have a question I tend to ask when this topic arises. Eager to hear your thoughts. You ready to tackle this one, Tara?
Yes, let's do it.
All right.
He said, thank you, CJ.
So although you probably know who these two individuals are, let's lay out a blind resume to see which may seem most guilty, quote unquote guilty. Person A, championship winning professional athlete, accused of rape, no criminal charges filed by the state, civil suit settled out of court with confidentiality agreement. Person B, championship winning professional athlete, accused of rape, charged by the state with 1 count of felony sexual assault. Case eventually dropped after accuser declined to further work with prosecutors. The prosecutorial team failed to protect her privacy under the state's rape shield law by releasing her name to the media. Civil suit settled out of court with confidentiality agreement. So now he goes, these are obviously not all the facts surrounding each of these cases, and we only know as much as we've been told through media since neither went to trial. But based on these few like factors from each instance, who would you feel was most guilty?
So one of these is Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Person A. It's funny you should say that, because he goes at a big reveal. Person A, Ben Roethlisberger, who Tara mentioned in episode 97. All right, person B.
Person B.
Was played for one of your great teams. One of your favorite teams.
Well, here's what's funny. Peyton Manning also had a deal.
Wow.
With one of his trainers. There's an issue with someone that was his.
Do you know what? And we never have, that got swept under the rug so fast. You're right.
Yeah, it did. It did. But that happened. It's not Drew Brees.
No. It's not football, actually.
Oh, okay. Kobe Bryant.
Exactly.
Got it.
And so he goes, so why such a difference? Terrell said you never get a second chance in the court of public opinion, so why did Kobe? Because he goes, nobody seems to mention Kobe Bryant pertaining to the subject ever, right? Which, I don't know, I've heard that come up a number of times. But so his thing was, yeah. In my opinion, it was the public perception at the time of the incident and the ability of social media to reach a larger audience. We have to remember, courts will often change their opinion over the years. See Roe versus Wade. Kobe's incident took place in 2003, 1 year before Facebook, 3 years before Twitter, and 7 before IG. I like how CJ's got his facts here. See, he's jumping into a lot of this stuff and giving names, times as well. He says Ben's was in 2008, at the beginning of the Me Too movement, and when two of the three previously mentioned social media platforms were up and running full force. Both incidents were similar. Both were sickening. I hurt for all women that have had to deal with anything like this at any point in their lives. Would love to hear your thoughts. Yes, Yanni. Another email that reads like a collegiate thesis. Keep doing what you do, fellas. CJ.
CJ smart as shit, if you haven't been able to tell. So he's a really smart dude.
Yeah.
So I think he brings up a valid point. I think with Ben Roethlisberger's situation, it came out, court of public opinions, whatever, but then it wound up, she didn't wind up, they just settled in a civil suit. It didn't go to court.
Right.
Right? And so then you don't get all the details released to the public. With Kobe, so what I mean by that is, since all the details didn't get released, it makes people, they draw their line in the sand, mm-hmm. I feel this, I feel that. With Kobe's deal, where it went to court, where you got a chance to hear a little bit of both sides, right. And then, of course, they attack the character of the girl. Mm-hmm. Now, end of the day, did he cheat on his wife? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did he cheat on his wife with a girl that worked at the front desk at a hotel? Yes. Now, the question was, did he rape her?
Right.
And his defense did a good job of making the girl look bad because, yeah, she had three different dudes semen in her.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean he didn't rape her. Mm-hmm. It just means that she could hooked up with a whole bunch of dudes, and that's totally okay if she chose to do that. And so I think in the public opinion, you had some people that are like, and then a lot of people were still a little side eye, but then what you do, you change your jersey number, and then all of a sudden it's a new you. And so he went through a rebranding phase, mm-hmm. and all that. So, I mean, there was a little bit of a period, but he went through a rebranding phase and was fine. But, had that happened during the Me Too era, I think it'd be a different story for both.
Yeah,
athletes.
And I don't think that it's never brought up with Kobe because it never went away. The problem is because people kept trying to bring it up for him, draw him into these conversations. And the I think the difference to that, like you just said, you get women who say no woman who's been raped will go sleep with another person immediately after, which is what his defense made it look like with this woman, right? Because, again, the DNA evidence was there. Was she just nasty and wore drawers from 3 days before? I mean, who knows? But, you know, this is where a lot of this stuff, like I said, in the court of public opinion, people are going to, it's always going to be there. People are going to pick their sides and they're going to stay on their sides, right? It's like politics. And when you mm-hmm. look at a lot of this, if they feel, there are people right now who still think Ben guilty as hell. There are people right now who still think mm-hmm. Kobe was guilty as hell. There are people right now who still think that, well, Tiger Woods deserves everything taken away from him because he cheated on his wife. Okay, he also gave her $500 million. So, and to the point that she tore down the house and built a whole new one. Tore down, my bad. She tore down the mansion and built a whole new mansion. So, but it's even now when people go, Tiger was the greatest. Yeah, but he still cheated on his wife. Like, Jesus, where does that? So, to your point, in the court of public opinion, people are always going to try you in their personal court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are. And I think that's the other problem with the court of public opinion. I can't look at Ben Roethlisberger, Kobe Bryant, or Tiger Woods' life through my regular person eyes. I can't look at that. I don't know what it's like to have that level of money, fame, attention, all these women that know you're married, don't care, mm-hmm. trying to come at you anyway. You know, so I don't know what all that's like. And so for me to say any of them shouldn't cheat, you know, I'm wrong to say that. I can say, hey, I don't think you should cheat, but they might have an agreement. They could be in an open relationship. They could be swingers. Who knows? You know, but I think if you look at the time frame when those things happened to Ben and Kobe, had that happened in, let's say, 2018, mm-hmm. I think their careers would have been done.
Right.
If that was in 2018. And then Tiger, yeah, he slept with a whole bunch of women, but everyone still is rooting for him.
Not everyone.
Only thing is, he just wasn't accused of rape. Mm-hmm. He was just accused of cheating and hooking up with Perkins waitresses. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't see the, even in the Me Too era, I don't see Tiger getting canceled for being a serial cheater.
Yeah, no. And at the end, but to be fair, you said everyone still loves him. No, they don't. A lot of people still don't. They still keep bringing that up. And especially the new generation goes, well, I don't know what's so special about him. Watch Tiger in the Hunt on a Sunday and feel the energy just watching on TV. It's there still, regardless. If he's, we may never see it again. And let's be honest, they've tried to make everybody else. I love Rory McIlroy. They try to bring him up to be that next person. They don't have the mental fortitude or the skill set that Tiger had in that era. He revolutionized golf. And as I'm sure a lot of old white men say when they get onto the golf course, God damn, he made all these black people come out here on this golf course too.
This course is a lot darker than it used to be, isn't it? Is it just me? It just seems like,
yeah, I'm on a golf course.
There's a lot more shade, yeah. If you know what I'm saying.
It's not as bright as it used to be. I went on the golf course the other day, right? And playing with an older gentleman and probably somebody who's not that much younger than us. And guy said to me, so did you take lessons? I was like, yeah, I just wish I'd taken up golf a couple of years earlier, like even 10 years earlier than I did. He goes, says every black golfer out here, and takes off. So every black golfer except Tiger Woods, because obviously Tiger was, you know, he started as a kid. So, but look, man, we are back on Thursday with Married at First Sight season 15 San Diego. I noticed in the comments somebody said, hey, season 16, they are going to start filming already in Colorado. Whew, that's going to be an interesting one. I'm planting the seeds early, folks. I'm planting the seeds early. Come on, Colorado. Mm. That's gonna be good. There may not be any black people on that one, but I mean,
black people in Colorado, and they have dispensaries, in Colorado. So maybe that'll be interesting.
It could be.
Do that.
It could be. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude,
and I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yep, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.